Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We're kind of pulling back the costs of college this morning. Jeff Boron is joining us in studio, a certified college planning specialist from the Financial Guys and from Send Your Kids to College. Jeff, right now, those tuition bills are in the mail, right?
Right. They're starting to pop in. Now I'm starting to get some of the last minute panic calls from parents. You know, unfortunately, some of these parents didn't really go through a planning process. And, you know, it's amazing. They look at colleges, they tour colleges. They let their son or daughter apply to these schools. They go through the whole thing. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, how are we going to pay for this?
Yeah. And that's when it all sets in though, right? When you get that bill in the mail.
It is. It's a sticker shock to many, although it shouldn't be. But, you know, it's just like everything. People tend to procrastinate and now it kind of hits them in the face. So you've got parents scrambling to figure out how to best pay for this.
Yeah. I mean, are there strategies that parents can take to lessen that sticker shock?
Sure. You know, unfortunately, if you're just getting the bill for college now, it's a little late to put in strategies. You know, it's kind of like waiting the day before you retire to say, hey, do I have enough money to retire? What can I do about it if I don't? If you start early, there's a lot of strategies. At this point now, it's a matter of where is the money going to come from? So if you think about money for college, first of all, what I always remind parents is you're paying those bills with after-tax dollars. So what I mean by that is, let's say you've got to shell out $30,000. Well, you might have to make $40,000, $45,000 in income to pay that bill after tax. So that's the first thing to consider. And there are some ways actually to pay for college pre-tax, but that gets very involved. You're looking at funding college either through income at that point, through assets that you have, or through debt and student loans, you know, increasing debt. We did a little bit, I was on the show, the Financial Guys show Saturday. We talked a little bit about student loan debt, and I actually had someone who ran a collection agency that just targeted student loans. And the thing that just sticks in my mind is, you know, parents generally, after they take the direct loans, have to co-sign for loans. Let's say you go to Sallie Mae or Citizens Bank or one of those other institutions. They're not going to give your son or daughter that kind of loan without having some security. So it's a co-signer. And he said, we didn't even bother calling the student anymore. We as debt collectors just called the parent, because if they co-sign, it's their loan just as much as it is the student's loan.
Is it the majority of students pay for college through some sort of loan?
Yeah, you know, right now a great percentage of students end up out of college with student loan debt. And there's various statistics out there, but the latest one I saw was approximately $37,000 in student loans upon graduation. Most students take out what's called a Stafford loan or a direct loan, and that'll total $27,000 over 4 years, $5,500 in your first year. So if your son or daughter is going to school and they're starting their first year, the max loan that they can take out just in their name is $5,500. Anything after that is not just a student sign and go away.
Are there do's and don'ts when it comes to loans, student loans?
There's a lot of do's and don'ts. One of the things, you know, people tend to gravitate and shop for just rate. But what you want to look at, if you're co-signing for your son or daughter's student loan, you want to look at what are the provisions where after that student gets out of school, has a good income, that you can be removed as co-signer. Is what a lot of people don't understand is you co-sign for that loan, it's going to be on your credit report. It's going to affect your credit score. It's going to affect your ability to get future, you know, mortgage, home refinance, car loans, etc., because that affects what's called your debt-to-income ratio. So if you're a parent co-signing, just know that that loan basically is your loan just as much as it is a student. So how can we get off that? What are the programs? What are the provisions that that lending institution has? Also, watch for the various fees. That's where some of the banks make their money. you know, other than just pure interest rates. But, you know, watch for some of the origination fees and some of the other fees with that. You know, rates are going to be credit dependent. What I saw, I would say an average somewhere 7-8% this year, what I was seeing for private loans.
All right, so a lot to get to, the loan paying back strategies, how you should prepare, and much, much more, all with Jeff Boron, a certified college planning specialist, joining us live in studio.
We're talking about college costs this morning with Jeff Boron in studio. Jeff is a certified college planning specialist with Send Your Kids to College and the Financial Guys. And Jeff, you know, when it comes to, we were talking about college costs, the tuition bills are coming in right now, and, you know, parents are getting these big bills. Some of them, like you said, are saying, oh boy, how do we pay for this? But you like the idea of kids having some responsibility and the kids themselves, the students, having some of those loans.
Absolutely. I've seen what happens oftentimes when the students don't. You got to remember, you know, these are fairly young adults. You know, they're 18 years old, and they have a newfound sense of freedom, especially those that are going away and dorming off at school. They have to know that they've got a stake in this game. And, you know, I think it's important that parents and students really communicate about what this is really costing so that the student understands. I've seen it done the wrong way where the student just goes off and thinks, wow, this is a cool vacation, you know, and I'm going to sit in my dorm room and play Xbox against the guys in the next room. And I don't have to go to class. It's okay. Your meals are all there. I mean, it's not luxurious, but still, you're away. You have all this freedom. I think the student has to know that, hey, there's a cost to this. And, you know, part of what we're paying for is me to go away, get an education so I can come out and get a job. So I better do well.
Well, I know for me that waking up to, hey, there's a cost for this came about 6 months after I graduated and the first loan bills came in the mail. What do you tell students who might be out of college when it's time to repay these loans as far as a strategy to kind of make sure they're not overwhelmed by the payments every month?
Right. Oftentimes what we'll look at is doing a consolidation looking at where the interest rate, you know, some of the loans out there that I've seen are at a pretty good interest rate, better than we can consolidate. But consolidate to make things simpler, sometimes bundle, get better repayment terms. There's all different types of strategies and different loan providers that you can work with to make life simpler and hopefully a little less expensive. When you first get out of college, you got to remember, you know, your income probably isn't as high as it will be 10, 20 years down the road from now. It's all about cash flow. So we've got to look at what those student loan payments are going to be the first year out, you know, when hopefully that student's getting an apartment, you know, has a car and has a lot of other expenses to make sure that it's all going to add up and, you know, we don't end up in a negative income situation.
I think a lot of people would agree with you when you said having a stake in the game. It's important for students to realize that, well, it's not a game. It's something that they're, you know, okay, supposed to be very directly involved with. Is there a fine line, though, as a, you know, a financial expert in your own right, of having somebody at the age of 17, 18 years old commit to spending this amount of money and repaying the amount of money that college costs? I mean, that can be overwhelming, and at times, I don't think most people or kids know exactly what they're doing.
You know, you bring to mind, I published something called The Top 10 College Planning Mistakes. And the first one, and I'll give you a little scenario. I have parents come in with a student, and they're almost oblivious. They don't want to be. They say, "Well, it's his or her choice." And one of my top 10 is, "Don't let a 17-year-old make a $250,000 decision." You know, when you think about it, sure, they're great kids. They've quote earned it if they've done very well in academics, but be involved. Because at the end of the day, you don't want that student coming to you when they graduate from college and say, "Hey, mom and dad, I don't know how I got in this situation. I can't afford an apartment. I've got to move back home."
Yeah, you don't want that to happen.
No. I had a father and daughter come in, and you know, they didn't see me to do the planning work ahead of time. She had over $100,000 worth of student loan debt, and she had a fancy title, but she was making $12 an hour.
Oof.
And, you know, I looked at the father and I tried to be courteous, but I really wanted to say, how could you let your daughter get in this situation? And now you come to me with, you know, what are we going to do about it? And probably the only thing I could give him advice on is someone to remodel his basement.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, it's really kind of too late. There's it's a lot you should be doing beforehand.
Absolutely. We like to see students and parents when they're in their freshman, sophomore, and then finally their junior year. Oftentimes, we're seeing parents come in when there's a panic. And tomorrow night, tomorrow Tuesday, 6 o'clock, we're doing a workshop at AAA in Amherst on International and Sheridan Drive. So at 6 o'clock, it's not too late. Give our office a call at 633-1515. Or you can just pop in to AAA. There's plenty of seats. It's a big room. And we're going to talk about the three facets of college planning, which is career, major, college selection, SAT, ACT prep, and then finally I speak on paying for college and how to reduce the cost. So that's tomorrow night at 6 o'clock at AAA.
All right. Jeff Boron is our in-studio guest. We'll talk a little bit more about the cost of college, some of the new ideas being kicked around by colleges for how to play, get his ideas on what colleges are suggesting now. We're joined in studio by Jeff Boron, a certified college planning specialist with the Financial Guys and Send Your Kids to College. Jeff, we were talking a little bit earlier this morning about the new idea from a couple colleges that to me sounds like the worst idea ever if you're a student entering college. But so many people concerned about student loan debt, taking on that debt. It seems so intimidating. So this is out of a college in Vermont, Norwich University, announcing it'll become the latest school to offer a type of contract. They'll pay your tuition if you offer them a percentage of your future salary and income. To me, that sounds like the worst possible idea. What do you think?
I couldn't imagine. You know, that's like signing up for an adjustable rate mortgage when you know mortgage interest rates are going up. Right, because you get out of college, you know, you typically it doesn't feel so bad in that deal. You've got a lower salary, lower income. You don't have a lot of work experience. But then, as you tend to move out, hopefully you're doing well, and that college has prepared you, and your income's rising rapidly. Well, you shouldn't have to pay a lot more back in student loans because of that. It's almost like being penalized for being successful.
Right.
Yeah, that's a great point.
I was saying after, if it's a 5-year contract, fine, take the $8 a month, and that'll be fine. You know, take that 10%.
Go tour Europe for a while with a backpack, right?
Anything longer than that, it just seems crazy. But these are some of the ideas, right? Because kids are hearing the stories and a lot of times dealing with that initial sticker shock of how am I going to pay for it that, you know, sometimes you can end in trouble like this down the road in the future.
Right. And, you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of people that didn't do the planning process back when her son or daughter was in high school, you know, maybe a sophomore or junior in high school. And they just let the student make a lot of these life decisions. And now it doesn't work out, but it's a little too late, you know, because student loans can't be forgiven. So you can't discharge them in bankruptcy right now. If you sign up for these loans, they're going to follow you and, you know, until death.
You know, you were saying students and their parents didn't do the work. When should they be doing this work?
Ideally, sophomore year is a very, very good year where they should call us. We're working with, mostly juniors because, you know, I don't know how parents wake up and they say, oh my gosh, I never knew this day would come. You know, we should be preparing for this for a lot of years. We start as early as freshmen in high school with the full program that we do. Sophomores is kind of ideal. Juniors, we do a lot of work with. Some strategies we can implement. For some strategies, it's too late. Because you got to remember, financial aid forms right now, when we're looking at doing how we're going to pay for college and planning ahead, they're looking back 2 years. So if your son or daughter is going to college in 2019, we're using 2017 data. And that change just happened a couple years ago. So we've shifted and everything has to go back a year earlier to really do proper planning.
You mentioned it before. It's maybe the only type of debt that can't be forgiven. You can't declare bankruptcy because of student loan debt. Is that a good idea? Could that change in the future with so many people facing just this mounting debt?
There is some talk of changing it, although I'm not sure if I'm in favor of that because, you know, letting people off of debt that they signed up for, unless there's valid reasons. Some loans can be just discharged, you know, for disability. If you're disabled, you know, let's say you get in a car accident, you're no longer able to work, those loans can be discharged. Some loans that are parent loans can be discharged upon the parent's death. So if you look at planning, you know, I've had cases before where there's a large age gap between mom and dad, and dad's, you know, getting up there in years by the time his son or daughter's going to college. Well, that might be a loan to look at, you know, because let's face it, none of us get out of this alive, right?
Yeah.
So, but we have $1.5 trillion in student loan debt right now, which is just, it's to me, it's the next mortgage crisis coming. You know, that debt keeps climbing. We've got about a 15% default rate right now. So $1.5 trillion, 15% of that is defaulted on the loans, going into collections. We're heading down the road for a problem. So if I'm a parent, I'm thinking, I can't let my son or daughter get into this situation.
Absolutely. It's a pretty significant number there. All right, Jeff Boron is with us. Another segment with Jeff coming up. He's a certified college planning specialist from the Financial Guys and Send Your Kids to College.
We are joined now live in studio by Jeff Boron, a certified college planning specialist. He's with the Financial Guys and also Send Your Kids to College. Jeff, we've been talking a lot about the cost of college, and for some people, they got you know, their ears perked up late last year when they heard about the new Excelsior Scholarship, as it's being called, the basically free tuition to SUNY schools for in-state residents. But it never as easy as it sounds, right?
No, there are a few commitments that you have to make if you're going to get the Excelsior Scholarship. One is obviously residency in New York State for the same amount of time that you get the scholarship. So if you get the Excelsior Scholarship for 4 years, you're committing to remain in New York State after you graduate for another 4 years.
And that is maybe a bigger commitment than you might realize now, because you can go into college thinking, you know, this is my home, this is where I'll come back, but a lot can change in those 4 years.
A lot can change. You know, maybe the job market for your particular skill set isn't going to be in New York State or in Buffalo back home, and you get some great offers elsewhere. Well, then what happens is that scholarship money reverts into a loan. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how New York State can handle this administratively, you know, how they're going to be able to track people, how they're going to be able to collect, because it's not something that they've, I think, set up yet. But you will be obligated to pay that money back.
Has the Excelsior Scholarship really changed the landscape around here much or not?
No, you know, I look at the Excelsior and I say it's more hype than reality. But I did get a nice email from someone I worked with last year. Their son was awarded the Excelsior, and she texted me and said his net bill is $400. He's going to be going to UB. And by the time, you know, TAP kicked in and all the other monies and a little bit of merit money, they're writing a check for $400. So that is a good story. But what I see is a lot of parents kind of depending on this, counting on it as if it's a given. And you've got to remember that there are not enough of this scholarship money or Excelsior money to go around for all the applicants. They grossly misjudge the amount of people that would apply and be eligible, and there's just not a big enough pocket of money. That is until they raise our taxes again.
So something to watch out for. It's never quite as easy as it sounds with a lot of these.
No, the other thing too is you cannot take breaks, or you have to take and complete full course loads to qualify. Which has been criticized because a lot of people who might really need this money, you know, they might have young families at home and they're going back to school and they can only take so many classes a semester, and they're just not going to be eligible for it.
If you're working, it's working part-time or full-time and then trying to go to college on the side, that won't always work.
That won't work. You won't qualify. You have to take a full course load and complete a full course load, which is another thing that's difficult. One of the biggest costs of college right now is the fact that, you know, we're changing majors, changing careers midstream, changing colleges midstream. So now, if you look at the statistics, graduating from a state school, you've got about a 1 in 3 chance of actually graduating in 4 years, and parents plan for 4 years. Private schools, about a 50-50 chance of graduating in 4 years. So now we have schools publishing their 6-year graduation rate, and that's not for a master's, that's for a 4-year degree. So get out in 6 for a 4-year degree. And I always tell parents the most expensive year of college is your 5th year, because you didn't anticipate those costs, and you're losing the income that you should be earning in that 5th year.
You know, I've got 2 going to college this fall.
And right.
That's one that the thing they tell you is the plan, the goal is to help your child graduate in 4, because more and more it's happening that it's taking longer.
And I can't necessarily always blame the schools for you know, not graduating students in 4 years. Students are going in and they're not prepared. I mean, you got to remember, they're 17, 18 years old. They're changing majors, changing careers, changing colleges. Every time you do that, it usually is a setback and creates more time in school, which means more money. So that's where our program tries to, I can't say we eliminate it, but we do help do a lot of that planning work.
That Excelsior scholarship covers tuition, but that's only a fraction of the cost when you're talking about the whole bill.
Right. You look at, state schools are notorious for saying our tuition didn't increase, but they failed to mention that their fees did. So a big component of your total bill at a state school is fees, and then obviously room and board. You know, room and board right now is averaging somewhere between $12,000 and $13,000 a year, which I think is kind of excessive considering the fact that they're not living there for a full year. Mm-hmm. They're there for 2 semesters and a lot of breaks.
Right. Absolutely. Hey, Jeff, good stuff. And again, you're having a college planning night tomorrow night at the AAA on Sheridan Drive.
On Sheridan Drive, 6 o'clock tomorrow at AAA. If anybody wants to attend, you can pop in or you can call our office to reserve a seat at 633-1515. And one last plug, scholarships for our organization, Send Your Kids to College, are due July 31st. If your son or daughter is in high school, please have them apply for a scholarship. Go to sendyourkidstocollege.com.
All right. So a lot of great info. Me and Joe learned something. He owes money for the fantasy football class he took in college. I took the recorder in college, so we're still working on paying that back. Jeff Boron, certified college planning specialist, live in studio.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.